All right, let's talk about just where we are in the overall curriculum here. We've actually had three very different kind of presentations so far on purpose. So let me try to just explain that. Last night was really more of a motivational type session. Why counsel? We talked about where does counseling fit into the overall discipleship means and methods of the church. Talked about what that looked like from the Garden of Eden, what that looked like from Acts 20, etc. So that was more just trying to motivate everybody here. This is really important. It's been important for a long, long time. It's a necessary and valuable part of your ministry. Then this morning was more theoretical. It had to be. We had to set some presuppositions out. Yeah, that's what makes biblical counseling biblical. How do I develop a model of counseling? That on purpose was a lot different than last night. Then what Mark just did is entirely different yet again. Now we're just trying to be as practical as possible. What does a counseling session look like? And what are some of the key elements in a counseling case? And I hope what you've heard already, it would encourage you. I mean, it's got to honor God when you talk about sitting down with a person and trying to build involvement with them. That's got to be a good thing. And then when you're seeking to give hope based on the Word of God, again, that has to be something that would honor Him. So as you think about, boy, what kind of counselor do I want to be like? If you're going to let the Word of God be your guide, this, I think, is something that pleases Him and ought to be attractive to you. So those first two key elements are really wonderful, and that's two of six. And so that's what we're going to be doing now for some time, and just trying to walk through what do these key elements look like. So the third one is gather relevant data. Gather relevant data. So the assumption is that the involvement is starting to develop. The assumption is that you're beginning hope. And don't view these elements as sequential. It's not like, okay, I got the involvement thing done. Now that's over. Now, okay, what is it? Oh, yeah, hope. It's not like that. It's not sequential. But there is a sense in which you have to get some involvement, you have to get some hope going before you're really going to be able to gather the data that you need. So we have them in this order for a reason, but don't view them as, well, it's not Tupperware, okay? It's not Tupperware. Now, a definition of gathering data, asking appropriate questions and carefully listening in order to understand what is occurring in the counselee's life. Now, let me say something that might shock you. It might make you cry. I don't understand why this is so surprising, but some people tell me that they spend hours and hours and hours preparing for the counseling session, and they've got all the notes and all the study laid out, and they know everything that they're going to do before the session begins. That, at least for me, is not anything near what I would consider to be biblical counseling. In fact, if you ask me, now, how much prep work do you do prior to a counseling session so you know what you're going to talk about in that session? Here's the answer. Like none. Like zero. And I'm not talking about the fact that I didn't pray about it. I'm not talking about the fact that if there was some question that came up that I didn't know, I didn't do some study. But I have somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 hours under my belt now. And I have not spent any time preparing for the session. If what you mean by that is I have some notes figured out in advance, any time you walked into my office and said, do you know what you're going to talk to Johnny about? No. And until I've asked Johnny questions about his week and I've reviewed the homework and figured out just where are we in the process now, I have no idea what we're going to do next. And so the idea that you prepare in advance, and then the person passively listens to the lecture. It's kind of like a one-man Sunday school lesson. That's not what we're talking about here. An important part of all of this is learning to ask questions, and that is a skill. There's no way around that. That is a skill that has to be learned over time. Now, what are some foundations for that biblically? Well, how about this one? He who gives an answer before he hears it is folly and shame. If you've got your answers all made up before you've heard the person, God's word would have said, well, that's foolish. You want to avoid that, don't you, being foolish and shameful? And so I would encourage you to have that verse in the back of your mind. I have to listen. I have to ask questions. I have to find out where this person is before I could possibly speak. Or this one, the first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. I've got to get all the data on the table before I really recognize what's going on. Which, by the way, as an aside, is why it's so important to counsel people together whenever possible. I very rarely would counsel just a wife or just a husband unless that's my only choice. But if I, and I realize people say, well, but But if you bring them together, they fight. Great, let them fight. And because that's a great opportunity to gather data. And I'm quite serious about that. I mean, why wouldn't you want them in the same room? You're going to learn a lot about the way that they relate to one another. And by the way, this is another reason why I love biblical counseling, because we do devote plenty of time to asking good questions and then listening. And you recognize in many systems anymore, that's just not the case, because there's no money in it. From a sociological perspective, think about, back up for a minute and just think about this whole process that we're encouraging your church to develop. Do you realize that the ability of a person to go sit down and talk to another person and sit down with a person who will listen to them about their problems for an extended period of time, those opportunities have dried up in your town. Do you realize that? The talking psychology is dead. And it's dead because of the pressure of the managed healthcare system. See, again, think about that sociologically. In our town, our greatest competitor, if you want to say, for many years, was Charter Hospital. They came into town, built a huge building right down the road, 2 miles from here. Huge building, beautiful. They're flush with cash. It was a talking psychology center. They immediately began advertising on TV, advertising on radio, advertising on billboards, all this kind of self-diagnosis stuff. If you have this, 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 and this, you need this, and therefore come see us. And what did the model look like? You would go to Charter Hospital, you'd set up an appointment, you would talk to one of their therapists for an hour, and depending on where that person was in their educational level, the cost might be $60 or $100, $140, somewhere in that neighborhood for that hour of talk psychology, talk therapy. Well, who do you think paid that money? You think the average client paid that kind of money? Not even close. The person or the entity who paid that money was the medical insurance company. Well, and I'm not saying that's right or that's wrong. I'm just saying the charter hospitals of the world were funded by medical insurance reimbursement. That's why it was so important for them to give a label out of the DSM-IV, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. You needed the number that went along with the label in order to bill the insurance company. That's why that part of the process. And again, I'm not fussing. I'm just telling you sociologically about how the process went. Well, when managed health care and the pressure that came from that, and you can argue that's good, it's bad, I'm not going to fuss about it, I'm just saying that's what happened. One of the first things that many medical insurance plans cut out was talking psychology. Never made any sense to them anyway. And so charter hospitals say, how are they doing? They're not. There were 98 of them, and 50 of them closed on the same day, including the one here in Lafayette. There's no money in it anymore. I mean, here's a really bad career path. Be a talking psychologist. And I'm not beating on my chest about that. I'm not saying that's good or that's bad. I'm just saying that's a fact. In fact, for this town, in Lafayette, talking psychology would be practically dried up were it not for government. Our government reimburses most of the talking psychologists who are left in this town. Now, here's what I'm saying. Talking psychology has dried up in your town. There's no question about that. I know that. Which means people who are hurting don't have anyone to go and talk to. That's the point of that. Now, if you have ministerial, entrepreneurial blood coursing through your veins, and you should, then what I just said to you ought to make some bells go off, like ding, 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 ding. If there are people in our town who are hurting and they don't have anybody to go and sit down and talk to who would actually ask them skillfully laid out questions and listen carefully to the situation and what's going on in my heart, well, couldn't a church put that together for crying out loud? I mean, how many people in our towns will say, I don't have any friends. I don't have anybody who's really willing to sit down and listen to me. Couldn't the church do that? And that's why biblical counseling believes so much in. I mean, you understand, the average person who goes to see a medical doctor for these situations, and I'm not anti-medical doctor, I'm not here to see how many fusses I can get going, but there's all sorts of secular studies that have demonstrated that psychotropic medication is prescribed after an intervention by the doctor of less than 5 minutes. Now, again, no cards and emails. I'm just telling you that is a fact. And I'm asking you, can the Church of Jesus Christ do that? Do better than that? Can the Church of Jesus Christ offer resources to its community of people who are trained and ready to ask questions and then to, well, here you go, listen. Listen. Paul said, who among men knows the thoughts of a man? In other words, we can't read somebody else's mind. That's why I have to spend so much time listening to my counselees. And the point of all of that is, counseling is not lecturing. And it's interesting that we have our counseling for the community on Monday. Well, I just spent a good portion of Sunday preaching, generally